Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Talk, folks. I was going to say good morning, but sometimes you never know where folks are listening from. Radio Law Talk, and we have folks in the Eastern time zone. Good afternoon. It is 12 or 6 after the hour for you. Some listening on podcasts. Those on the West Coast where we're at, good morning. Good morning to folks in the West Coast and the Central and the Mountain time zone. It's technically still morning in Mountain, isn't that right?
Yes.
It's 11 o'clock.
Yes.
All right. My name is Todd Kunin. I am sitting in for the big fella, Fred Penny, on assignment. And big fella is in reference to his status, not stature. Denise gave me a raised eyebrow there, and I mentioned the name Denise, seated to my right in her usual position of prominence. Good morning, Denise Dirks.
Well, good morning. Good day. Good afternoon.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night.
She took the right approach. If you start thinking, when are they listening? What time? Yeah, forget it. Just say hi.
Just say hi. Yeah. I burned like 2 minutes just trying to figure out time zones there. And those the smooth, melodic voice that you heard chime in there after Denise was Cal Hunter.
The primetime voice.
Yes.
In my dreams.
I'm waiting for Cal to come in. Welcome to Radio Law Talk After Dark.
I was good. I was thinking of doing a whole nighttime shtick on that. I might do it sometime.
Nice. So, Radio Law Talk, the sometimes informative, most of the time entertaining law show on the radio. We are right up there, as Fred would say, second only to those, middle-of-the-night alien shows that you'd pick up while traveling across the Nevada desert where they're talking about, I was abducted next to my trailer park and taken to Alpha Centauri 5.
And then my wife, well, let me tell you what happened to her.
They gave her a facelift and a booty injections, all sorts of stuff. And we was happy until the kids were born, and that's why Junior's got a forehead growing out of his rectum. And I don't know. So, just crazy stuff here. But, look, I will admit those can be more entertaining than what we've got here. But we do try to make it fun and informing. And we also have to let them know, Denise, when can we not, when do we not recommend folks rely on Radio Law Talk?
When they're seeking legal advice.
That's right. If you are in court or trying to solve your own problem, legal problem, seek counsel that can provide you specific advice to your legal situation. Do not rely on what we say here. We're not giving you legal advice. We're talking about general legal principles. There's one time when you can use Radio Law Talk. That would be when...
Well, when gathered with the family, when you could be in the car driving across the Nevada desert, when the radio fades out, and you go, well, I heard this from them. This is what I heard from them. They said this.
Anytime you're in a conversation, casual, oftentimes at around the dinner table, the holidays, and somebody uses the reference to the infamous they, as in, well, they did a study and they said this. Well, then you can come back with something you heard on Radio Law Talk. You'll sound more credible. Unless somebody's actually heard the show. So, there you go.
Good point.
That's the way we've got. If you'd like to participate, again, we don't answer specific legal questions, but we do welcome your calls. If you have a comment on anything that we are going to cover, and I'll go over a list of a couple of topics here in a moment, please feel free to call. The number to call is, looking at Denise,
855-LAW-RADIO. That's 855-529-7234.
We've been doing this show for 5 years. She still has to look down to read.
Well, it's hard to remember. I was thinking out loud here. Maybe we could just have a legal advice hotline, take people's credit card numbers on the intake, and then we could give legal advice like on the side, on the phone. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to opt against that.
Okay.
Because
we don't have a conflicts checker.
Don't have a conflicts checker. I can't provide legal advice outside the state of California. We're all bar certified in California. I think Fred is California and Washington, D.C. I remember him saying that.
Yes.
I used to be bar certified in the state of Tennessee back when I was a prosecutor there in 2006, 2007. But then I moved back to California and didn't keep that bar licensure act.
All right. It was a bad idea. I'm sorry. I was just trying to monetize the show. You know?
Let's see. How can we draw and quarter Cal metaphorically even more? Oh, wow.
No, that's good.
Okay, all right, we'll just stop right there. So some things we're going to talk about today. We're talking about, let's see, R. Kelly. We've covered that the last couple weeks, closing arguments in the R. Kelly case. We'll talk about the developments there, how some of those went. We're also going to talk about how many of you remember, boy, I remember as a kid, Elvira. She was, I think she was big right around the same time MTV got really big in the 80s. I remember she was a...
The Mistress of the Dark.
That's right. She was, you know, all dressed up. And hey, to tell you what, as a 17-year-old kid, I looked forward to Elvira. So she's in the news with some discussion about things that happened to her in the past. We also, let's see, Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt. Let's see. I think this would fall under the category of Hell Hath No Fury as a Woman Scorned or something like that, or the not-so-virtuous virtues of vindictiveness. So they're in the news. What else do we have, Denise? The Monument Law in South Carolina.
Oh, I like that one. That one's truly about the law.
That is. That's
So it's not about Hollywood stardom. It's not about divorce. It's about the law.
It's about the law.
Amazing. Shocker. Shocker that we're going to talk about something actually law-related. See, we've also got a case involving Donald Trump and actually family members, his niece. That's in the news. We'll talk about that. Former press secretary, Sean Spicer, in the news about an appointment where he's taken on the Biden administration. Attorneys facing contempt of court. Justice Thomas makes some statements. Derek Chauvin in the news. And we're also going to talk about comfort dogs. Comfort dogs.
Comfort dogs.
Comfort dogs. We'll talk about that when they can be used in trial. But, folks, we know a lot of folks tune in. Actually, probably most people tune in to hear Case or No Case. And
now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Yay! I'll give you the scenario very quickly because we have just a couple of minutes. So I'll set you up, and then you can figure out what you want to do. An elderly gentleman in Eugene, Oregon, had a sore back. Well, lots of people do. And so he decided to look around. And one night he's out clicking on the late-night TV because the back hurt him. And he saw an infomercial for an inversion table. And he said, He bought one, assembled it, looked the whole deal over. And he said, well, that sounds simple enough. So he hooked his feet up, turned himself upside down, and immediately all of the blood rushed to his head. When it was time for dinner, his family wondered where he was. Well, they found him, and he was no longer breathing. He had perished. So they made a couple of phone calls, the county coroner and an attorney, saying, we're pretty sure Daddy didn't want to go that way. Do we have a case or no case? So that will be our scenario for case or no case. First one. The other one, by the way, I have another one from Oregon as well. It's Oregon Day today.
It is.
On case or no case.
I'm detecting a conflict of interest here because anybody who's tuned into the show at all for any length of time knows that Denise Dirks is all things Oregon, it being the state of her origin. She
That's
loves
right.
the state of Oregon.
You're saying she has an Oregon origin?
I have
a particular closeness to Eugene as well. Because not only was I born there, but I was also a Duck alum.
Have you ever seen one of these inversion tables in Eugene? This is my question.
Of course I have.
Yes, they were used by ducks.
Apparently.
So when we come back, we'll get our answers to case or no case. Nothing will involve people turning into bats as they hang upside down. We will come back after this break and do case or no case. Cal, why don't you take us out?
I will. This is Radio Law Talk. You stay tuned. We will continue. Moment.
Radio Law Talk and Radio Law Talk.
commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
Claims have not been evaluated by the FDA.
I've got to get my car washed. The dirt is gonna do.
The best thing about Quick Quick Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell in your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and is clean at Quick Quack Car Wash.
And I know this place right down the road.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Quick Quack Car Wash.
Get the Quick Quack confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this cutter shine.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see. I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car Wash. They'll have you looking sharp.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0940. 800-670-0940. 800-670-0940. That's 800-670-0940.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com. Or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCMteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCMteam.com. Enlist in GCMteam.com and save America.
6-800-918. Stop whining. Who told you that?
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information.
And now back to the show. Here are Todd and Denise. Hello there. Back to Radio Law Talk.
Hello there, Cal. Hi. So we're in the middle of case or no case, just to recap what Cal set us up with. guy in Eugene, Oregon, probably a family member of Denise, which is going to make this completely biased on her part. A guy buys an inversion table, sets it up, uses it, and then doesn't come down to dinner. Family goes in and finds that he has moved on in the inverted position while using the table.
But his back didn't hurt.
But his back didn't hurt. No, no. And so the question is, did the family sue?
They went to the lawyer right away and said, well, he got this to relieve pain, obviously not to have this outcome. So what do you think? Do we have a case? And I think, Denise, we'll start with you because you're the Oregonian here, so why not? Case or no case, Ms. Dirks?
Whenever you do a case and the facts relate to somebody that's in the room, I kind of think it's made up. I'm going to follow my instinct, and I'm going to say, well, first of all, I honestly don't think there would be a case, because having your blood rush to your head is not going to kill you. You know, it just shouldn't kill you.
Well, he was in his late 60s, you know. I mean, he was an old guy.
Well, kind of like you and I, Cal.
Fair point. And like my lovely bride, and not quite like Todd yet. See, Todd's looking at us going, oh, you poor old people.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that there would be a case there, so I'm going to say no case.
I think that's fair enough. Mr. Kunin, what do you say about this case? Or no case.
Well, you know, I may be younger than anybody here at the studio today, but I have used an inversion table. Actually, I have one set up in my house, and I've used them quite a bit.
Really?
For back issues, and I'll tell you, they work great, but I do know one thing about it, and this might be where the individual, assuming that this is a true story, where he might have messed up, is this. When you get on an inversion table, you think you're going to go a full up and down, like a complete inversion. So your head is near the floor, your feet are up, and you are straight up and down. And they aren't designed to work that way. I mean, you can have them work that way, but most of the time there's a little break in there. You really only go back to about 45 degrees inverted. And you get the benefits to it. You can go straight up and down, but it's the instructions say you're advised not to. And the reason you're advised not to is because if you do go straight up and down, you can, depending on your age and any medical conditions, if you increase the blood flow to your brain and there's any blockage, anything, yeah, you can die from it.
I have a question. Do you strap your legs in? Like,
yes.
How do you can it be that you're trapped in a position you can't get up?
Your feet are strapped in, obviously, so that you don't fall down, but they're balanced in such a way that really all you have to do is raise your arms, if you have it set correctly, raise your arms so that put your arms forward so that it shifts the balance of weight and you can go up. So because of all of that, I'm going to say I think this is a case. They go to the lawyer, but I'm going to say that the plaintiffs lose. And the reason I say that is because you can still get inversion tables, and I have one, and they market them all the time. So it's not like they did away with the inversion tables.
There are, however, several manufacturers. Interestingly enough, I didn't realize. Here's what we know. Denise says no case.
Yes.
Mr. Kunin says case, and plaintiff loses.
Plaintiff loses.
I say the maker of an inversion therapy table has been sued for allegedly contributing to the death of a 64-year-old man in Oregon, whose family claims he was killed after becoming trapped in one of the devices. So it was, in fact, the case. Outcome, however,
pending.
Not yet sure. So I guess, Todd, I'm going to have to give you at least one point. I'm going to give you two. And, Denise, I'm sorry, no points for you. And that is case or no case.
Yeah, I can see how somebody would get. I can see how somebody would get trapped in that. Not because they couldn't, but usually they have way you adjust the feet is based on your height, right? So if you're 5'10", you adjust it to 5'10". Well, if you're 5'10", but you adjust that thing to 5'2", and you get in that, assuming your head doesn't pop off, it's gonna flip over, and then it's out of balance, and you can't get it back. And so that could be a problem. We'll see.
To get your center of gravity off.
Yeah,
by the way, next hour on Case or No Case, we're going to Portland, Oregon, for the origins of the world-famous Fosbury Flop. That's coming up next hour. I wonder if Denise, I'm sure she knows all about that. But that's coming up next hour on Case or No Case, and that's going to do it for this hour.
I love a good high-jumping question.
Yes.
Denise, all right, so I'm not going to lie. Had a crush on Elvira when I was a kid. And she is in the news. What did she do, Denise?
Well, first and foremost, she wrote a book.
Yes.
And it's an interesting book.
It's an interesting book. she wrote a book, and it's the memoirs of Elvira, where she's, you know, she was an icon back in the 80s. Everybody knew who she was. And
yeah, she used to be the one that would introduce, like, scary movies and stuff like that. So she was, like, the hostess of the scary movies, and she would be kind of a little dark and dreary in a way, but she was really a very beautiful woman.
With a very plunging neckline on the outfits that she wore, which is probably why so many people tuned into it. But, yes. But tell you what we'll do, because we only got about a minute left. So she's got this this book that she wrote, and she's made some allegations in the book against another, at least one other, well-known personality from the sports world who later transitioned from the sports world into television and film. And we will talk about that when we come back after our bottom of the hour break, because not only are we going to talk about the allegations that she makes, but we're also going to talk about how people might react to the allegations that she makes, and people who are in a similar situation that she was in might react, and how they might otherwise have come forward. So we'll see you after this break. We'll talk about Elvira. You're listening to Radio Law Talk.
My heart's on fire. More Radio Law Talk is coming up. Stay tuned.
Remember, Radio Law Talk is available 9 to noon Pacific every Saturday, live on RadioLawTalk.com and on many radio stations coast to coast. All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS, and they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-263-2610. 800-263-2610. That's 800-263-2610.
You love your dog. Is something bothering him or her and you can't figure out what it is? Maybe they seem slow or lethargic, and maybe they just don't have energy. Wouldn't you like your dog to be living their very best life? Pet Joy offers a money-back guarantee on all of its products. If your dog won't eat it or you don't see the results you want, just let us know and we'll make it right. Totally risk-free. What do you have to lose? You can't buy PetJoy multivitamins in a store. The only way you can get them is through this unique radio offer. And if you call right now, learn how to get 2 bottles free with your order. Turn your dog's life around and make him or her a happy camper. Ain't that right, boy? He said call PetJoy right now. 800-711-9218. 800-711-9218. 800-711-9218. That's 800-711-9218. If you're loved.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The immigrant situation at the bridge in Del Rio, Texas is now finished. Some of the people were sent back to Haiti, or they voluntarily decided to go back to Mexico. But thousands are still being processed. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
will have their cases heard by an immigration judge.
Almost a year after Joe Biden was elected president, the Republican-led ballot review in Arizona's Maricopa County has been made public. They found no fraud, but they did find more votes for Joe Biden. Arizona Secretary of State Katie Hobbs is a Democrat that's running for governor.
This has caused a lot of harm to our state, a lot of harm to people's confidence in the election processes that have integrity in our state.
The process was also criticized for a lack of transparency. This is USA Radio News.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
I like the Amor Joseph Valley. Is this real life?
Radio Law Talk. Now back to the show.
So we went into the break. We were talking about Elvira, whose real name is what, Denise? What's Elvira's given name?
Cassandra Peterson.
So.
And she wrote a book about the Mistress of the Dark's memoirs, if you will. And she was in this book. She became quite candid about an experience that she had that she had never told anybody. And she finally said she just felt the need to be truthful about it and also to make sure that other people that had this happen to them would not react in the same way that she had reacted. She apparently alleges that she was assaulted by Wilt Chamberlain. And he was a good friend of hers, and this happened in his home, and she didn't tell anybody. She didn't try to fight back, quite honestly. She didn't really do much, and she said that she had been traumatized, but that she was embarrassed, and that she was shocked, and she just really could not tell anybody because she felt like she had done something wrong. So here she was describing how, as a victim, she felt like she was the person who was the criminal.
Yes.
If you will.
And that is very common. I say that because when I was a prosecutor for about 3 years, I had a very specific assignment for a three-year period of time. I prosecuted all of the sexual assault cases with victims age 14 and over in the county or in the jurisdiction that I was in, and I had dozens of cases over that. And luckily, it was only dozens of cases and not hundreds. It wasn't a very big county that I was in, a moderate size. But still, I'm glad that it wasn't more, but I'm sad that it was the number that it was, because it's a very traumatic thing for somebody to have to go through. And so when she talks about how she felt had done something wrong, was afraid to come forward. I think that exemplifies almost every single victim that I spoke with would say the same thing, that they were taking the blame, that they had the blame on their shoulder, and it makes it very difficult for someone to come forward.
It's a sad but normal reaction.
It is. And, you know, I like the fact that you use the word normal.
And reaction.
Yeah, the word normal reaction there, Cal. Words, okay, those are two words, thank you. Because sometimes, and defense attorneys used to, and I'm a defense attorney now, but that's not really a class of crime that I get involved with to represent, but defense attorneys will often say, well, the victim didn't respond the way a normal person would. If I had a dime for every time I heard that argument. This is what I came away with after 3 years of prosecuting that class of crimes, sexual assault crimes. There are as many different ways for a person to respond to an incident of sexual assault as there are victims of sexual assault.
It is unique to each individual. Yes.
It is.
The
thing that is a common thread through all of them is the guilt that they feel and the fear that they feel. But, you know, well, why didn't you go to the police? I don't know. Why didn't you go to the hospital and get an exam? I don't know. Why didn't you tell this person? There are so many different reasons, and everybody has one that's unique to them.
And many people will say, I didn't go to the DA because I've heard some bad stories about the DA in this town. I've heard that phrase many times myself, and I'm no lawyer, just as a news guy. Well, the DA in this town, they don't handle this kind of case very well.
I hate to hear that. I think the common feeling, there is a common feeling, and that is loss of control. Because a lot of times the sexual assault is about control, or it has a person trying to take control of another person, and that deprive them of their free will. And I think that when you are in that kind of victimology or whatever, you don't know how you're supposed to react. You've lost control, and you don't react in normalized ways because you don't really know how you're supposed to react. And that loss of control makes people do a lot of different things. You know, the reaction could be, like Todd said, it could be just like as individual as each individual.
Yes.
But that loss of control is really frightening. And you go back over in your mind as a victim, over and over in your mind, what should I have done? What could I have done? Was there anything I could have done? Dang, I didn't think of doing that. I didn't think of doing this. And the victim victimizes themselves.
They do.
Repeatedly. And just reliving that event victimizes them again.
And there's no book, there's no reference material. Here's how you should respond, right? And I think homicide cases, they do the same thing. Well, you don't respond is there a book that tells you how you should respond? Some list? I mean, who's to say what's normal?
If there's anything even close to a book, and this is one of the issues here, if there's anything close to a set of instructions, the instructions are all along the lines of what you should do to avoid being put in that situation. Right? Don't go here. Don't be alone. And there's all of these things that you're told, that folks are told that they should do to avoid coming close to a situation where an event like this would happen. And so when an event like this does happen, when a situation like this does happen, another reason they don't come forward is because there's no shortage of the I told you so's and the Monday morning quarterbacks, to use a sports analogy, the folks that say, well, if you hadn't done this, if you shouldn't have done that, you hadn't done this. Ms. Peterson, Elvira says that the specifics of this, what led to this incident, she claims that she was at Wilt Chamberlain's house, and he said he had a special closet where he had all of his jerseys from the different teams that he had played for, and would she like to see it? And she said, yeah, and they were friends, and so there's this, she thinks, an element of trust, and when they went to that closet to view, that's when this assault took place, she says. And so you can see that no shortage of people saying, well, you shouldn't have gone there alone, and you knew his reputation, because let's say Wilt Chamberlain bragged about his prowess, Okay. That was, he wrote a book and he bragged about it in the book and about his prowess with the ladies. And so people are going to, you shouldn't have done this, you shouldn't have done that. And just the feeling that you're going to be lectured and maybe somehow she
questioned, not believed. I mean, over and over, right? It's going to be there. Now, even as I was writing down this topic for our podcast, I put down Elvira discloses alleged assault. Here, me, I'm even having to be very protective and say alleged. And I was thinking, could Wilt Chamberlain's estate come and maybe sue for defamation or do something like that for, you know, doing that for her? But he can't, you know. A defamation is a very individual and unique type of action that an estate cannot pursue it. So it's
I believe we've covered a case like that previous where the issue was whether or not somebody who was the estate of somebody who was dead could
usually
sue.
An estate of somebody means they're dead.
I know people that have an estate that they're still alive. You know, they live on their estate, but they're having an estate sale. But the
when they're moving to Utah. Right?
Yes. But still, and I believe the determination there in the courts was, yeah, you can't have a defamation case on behalf of somebody who has already passed.
A dead guy can't sue backward for defamation. Now,
maybe deadfination. But
one thing you also hear is, why did you wear that clothing when you went to meet Wilt? I mean, there's a lot of victim shaming and victim blaming going on here, which is probably as much a concern as anything else.
Could be. I don't know how she was dressed when she went.
Yeah, I don't either.
But you know, one thing I do know, that argument about, well, if you were dressed a certain way, you know, did you most, if I can't think of one case that I prosecuted where the manner in which the person was dressed had anything to do with the assault. It was always somebody taking advantage of an individual who was maybe a loner, had some, you know, was off to themselves, and it was the predator sees the prey who has no support group or whatever. They build this thing, relationship of trust somehow, and then take advantage of that. That happens far more than the person who's wearing the, you know. You see this in the movies, the person wearing the skimpy outfit, and then this happens, and that's what, you know, they say, well, this led to that, and what do you expect the guys to do? That just doesn't happen very often.
But at one time, that was an argument used fairly frequently. Well, if she just hadn't worn that, it wouldn't have gotten him all stimulated. I mean, you know, this
is... Yeah, as if he didn't have free will to say, you know, that's what separates us from the animals, folks. Whatever impulse we have, we also have this thing called a brain, and our cortex allows us to override impulses. That's why those crimes are still against the law. None of this, I'm like a lion on the Serengeti, I had to do it.
Exactly.
Take us to the break, Cal.
I'll be glad to do that. We thank you for listening to us here on Radio Law Talk and remind you that Radio Law Talk is available every Saturday, 9 to noon Pacific time at RadioLawTalk.com and, of course, on many of your favorite local radio stations. So wherever you are, however you're listening, we thank you, and we'll be back. And other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat...
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good.
Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Nine.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your cake.
Oh, that's down.
This is Radio Law Talk.
We've been talking about Elvira, actually, Cassandra Peterson, who is more probably not more commonly known in pop culture as Elvira, the personality on the Saturday night horror shows on television in the 80s. So we were talking about her and her allegations in her upcoming memoir that she was the victim of sexual assault at the hands of Wilt Chamberlain, who's since deceased. I think he died in 1999, but the former NBA great. And according to the allegations, the timing, it would have taken place either at the latter part of his career, he retired in 73, or just after retirement, sometime in the mid-70s. And when we went to the break, we were talking about why people might not come forward. And one of the reasons is, well, we can kind of see why in the next case we're going to talk about, in the next story, which is about R. Kelly, who is on trial, and they just finished closing arguments in his sexual assault trial. And one of the things that we're going to hear about here in just a second is the way defense attorneys actually attack the evidence and talk to and describe and portray victims of sexual assault while trying to defend their clients. And Denise, what, you know, they just did closing arguments, the R. Kelly case, right?
Yes, it's a perfect example of blame the victims. You know, R. Kelly is being charged with pretty serious sex trafficking charges, which is serious. This is not a minor charge. And there is multiple witnesses and also multiple victims. And some of them were underage at the time. So the defense is basically saying, look, these people are, and using this wording, surviving R. Kelly by trying to monetize this case and trying to get money out of R. Kelly and trying to somehow get paid for all of this. And so basically telling the jurors that these people are just out for money. That's the number one thing that they were saying. And using the surviving R. Kelly as part of that argument refers back to this documentary on R. Kelly that was did not paint him in very, very good light at all. So anyway, they say things like, you know, the victims are they're too fluid in their testimony, or and which is like trying to imply that they're being smooth, you know, and this type of stuff.
Did they say it's fluid like butter?
Yes.
Which would imply that their testimony is slippery as well, like, you know, I heard a phrase once, like trying to nail Jell-O to a wall. It's just there's nothing cohesive about it, right?
That's right. And it's one of the alleged victims was Aaliyah, right? Do I say that right?
Aaliyah.
And but she's no longer with us, but she came up a lot in this trial. And they haven't really said too much about her, but they're basically calling out each of these different victims. They're calling them groupies or stalkers. And then the worst part of this is they're saying that you got to treat R. Kelly as if he is Martin Luther King and this is a civil rights issue and you've got to be strong and stand up for R. Kelly's rights. And it just, for me, it didn't play out that well.
Yeah, you know, you got to be careful of what you say as a defense attorney in closing arguments. And prosecution's made some statements I'll talk about in just a second that I'm not particularly impressed with. But, you know, at the end of the day, you want the jurors, really, if you think that the facts are on your side, if you think that, hey, the prosecution has not proven their case, there are four or five elements that they have to prove, let's say, and they've only proven three of them, they only have evidence, and there's holes here, and they haven't proven beyond a reasonable doubt, and, you know, if you're waffling on the evidence, should we not, who do we believe more, that's a not guilty, you got to believe beyond a reasonable doubt, and if that's where you want to go, then make that argument. Try to take the emotion out of it. When you go to the emotional aspect of it, yeah, if you get a juror that, yeah, this is like Martin Luther King and I am ready to acquit and it is a civil rights act, that's great if you're the defense, but you got 12 people sitting up there. What about the one person up there that says, I cannot believe you are trying to take a person on trial for sexual assault who, whether they were monetizing groupies or not, he still let them run in his circles, a bunch of underage girls. And he married Aaliyah. Factually, we know that he married Aaliyah, and we know that she had to get a fake birth certificate, say she was under the age of eight, or over the age of 18 when that happened. So we know that that took place.
And she wasn't. She was 15.
She was 15 at the time. So we believe that evidence there. And you're trying to equate yourself to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That could backfire in a heartbeat. So you really got to be careful now.
And I feel like I do feel like any time that you blame the victim, that it makes it a vulnerable defense, in my opinion. It used to work really well, but I do think in today's world it doesn't work the way that it used to.
Yeah, what's the axiom? If the facts are on your side, pound the facts.
Yes.
If the law is on your side, pound the law. If neither one are on your side, pound the podium. And I just look, this is just my assessment here, but when I read what they said the defense was saying in the closing argument, to me that looks like a lot of podium pounding. Okay, because well, factually we got a tough road to hoe, and legally we're in a bind. So let's go ahead and make this about something else. Right.
And let me tell you something. We always talk about both sides of the argument. And here, there's the prosecution made some statements that That could be questionable, quite honestly.
Let me read a quote. This is from the prosecutor, all right? Quote, "It's time to hold the defendant responsible for the pain he inflicted on each of his victims." That's one. Second quote, "It is now time for the defendant, Robert Kelly, to pay for his crimes, period. Convict him, period." I have a problem with the prosecutor making both of those statements.
Why?
Well, first, the role of the juror is not to exact punishment. It is not to make people pay for crimes.
At least not at this stage.
Not even later on.
I thought they had to determine life or death.
No. Well, in a death sentence case, this is not that.
I know.
Right?
I'm just...
So in a death penalty case, the jury is part of that. But this is not that kind of a case. The role of the juror is to listen to the facts and apply the law. All right. Have the elements of the crime been met? And there's a jury instruction among many that the jurors are given that says, do not allow passion, prejudice, thoughts about punishment guide your decision when determining whether or not the elements of the crime has been met. And here you've got a prosecutor in closing argument openly soliciting the jurors to do what the instruction says they should not do. That, to me, is a problem. And the reason it's a problem is, one, I think it's unduly influencing the jury, but two, let's say the jury comes back to convict, and let's say the jury would have convicted, maybe, with or without this, you've just gift-wrapped a reason to appeal.
But how is this different than the O.J. Simpson case, as an example? You know, the glove, you know, this evidence where I'm fascinated by what you're saying. And it seems to me they're both walking down on different sides of the table, but they're walking down a similar path.
O.J. Simpson, that was very different because in that case, the prosecutors did not know the answer. So they asked a question that they did not know the answer to. Will that glove fit?
Well,
right?
Yeah.
That's at least one example.
That was a terrible mistake on
their
part.
Yes, that was a huge mistake on their part because they didn't know the answer. And he looked like he struggled to get that on. And it had been bloody, and it was a leather glove, and it could have shrunk.
Exactly.
And it backfired. So that's like probably the most elementary thing you learn in law school is do not ask a question you do not know the answer to.
I think the biggest difficulty in trying to analyze the comparisons, similarities, or differences between R. Kelly and O.J. Simpson is O.J. Simpson was acquitted. So we really can't go down the road of saying what prejudiced his case. At the end of the day, the jury said not guilty. And with R. Kelly, we don't have a verdict yet. So we don't know what they're going to say.
Well, I just say with Simpson, obviously the attempt was to paint the police as the bad guys and the evidence is tainting a problem. And so it looks like they're kind of on the opposite side doing the same thing, but on the other table is what I was trying to say.
Yeah, in R. Kelly, they're not attacking the evidence, they're attacking the victims.
And another big difference, if the prosecution does it and a person is wrongfully convicted, the defendant can appeal. If the defense does it and the person is acquitted, the prosecution doesn't get to appeal.
We're done. Right. We're all done. And we're done for this hour, by the way. More Radio Law Talk is coming up in 6 minutes and 10 seconds right here. So we hope you'll stay tuned for more Radio Law Talk.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.